This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey guys, how you doing, Motion Church? Man, do you guys love your pastors, Chris and Shelley, or what? Come on now. Unbelievable, unbelievable. I love them. I've known them, like he said, 8 or 9 years. They're an essential part of our network at C3 Global, which was birthed out of the heart of our pastors, Ed and Lisa Young, to serve churches just like Motion Church, and to help you and to resource you with the tools necessary and help you reach Longview, Texas, and the surrounding area for Jesus, right? That's what it's all about. And listen, he's exactly right. I pastored in Tampa. And by the way, your pastor, Chris, is one of our regional directors. So there's actually pastors in the near region of here that are a part of our network that Pastor Chris cares for, looks after, encourages. So, I mean, this is a awesome place. Your church is doing great things, and I'm just so happy to be here. And like you said, I pastored in Tampa for almost 22 years, like a 2 months shy of 22 years, and started a church and from scratch. We lived there, raised our kids there. So being in this church and this environment, this is like home to me. Yeah. Now, I love Tampa. I loved it. It was an incredible life. But there's no place like Texas. And I'm glad to be in East Texas, behind the Pine Curtain. You know what I'm talking about? I'm glad to be here. All my family is from, my extended family on my side is all from between Shreveport and Ruston. So when I'm driving through Longview and I see that red gravelly clay, come on, baby. That's home to me. I'm glad to be in the land of barbecue and fried catfish. Somebody call somebody. Come on now. I love it. The best fried catfish in the world is right here in East Texas, Northwest Louisiana. Y'all got it going right here, man. So like I said, it's just an honor to be here and to be with your pastors and their family. Got to be with some of your leaders last night. Got to be with all your volunteer leaders this morning. Just, this is an incredible church. It's amazing what God's done in 10 short years. A number of years ago, my kids were a little bit younger. They were all in middle school and high school. We went to Santa Fe, New Mexico on vacation. Anybody ever been to Santa Fe? All right? Beautiful area. And we stayed at this hotel that was shaped like a horseshoe with the horizontal part of the horseshoe facing the road. And then in the middle was like the pool house, and then there was a little workout center off to the side. So we've been on vacation now for a couple of weeks, and so we got to Santa Fe, and Steph said, we got to do laundry. We got to do laundry. We're running out of clothes. And she goes, why don't we team up on this? I'll let the girls watch a movie. You take Landon to the gym. Y'all work out, and I'll get the laundry going, and then like in 30 minutes you come and check and flip it, and then I'll come back and flip it and all that kind of stuff. I said, great. So I worked out with Landon about 30 minutes, and then I'll go to where the washer and dryer are, and Steph's like, hey, have you seen the girls? I said, no. She goes, they're not in the room. I said, well, they're probably in the pool house. So I went over to the pool house, and I went in there. Catherine, Caroline, not in there. So I went to the ladies' room and peeked it open and said, Catherine, Caroline, no answer. Went to the men's room, hoping not to get an answer. But anyway, I opened the men's room. Catherine, Caroline, no answer. So I went to the gym and nothing. I said, well, maybe they're in the lobby of the hotel watching TV there, eating the free chocolate chip cookies. So I go through the lobby. Catherine, Caroline, not trying to be too, you know, obnoxious. I go to the ladies' restroom, did the same thing. Men, same thing, no answer. Come back. Steph's at the washer and dryer. I said, I couldn't miss. She goes, I can't either. I said, let me try it again. We're missing each other. We're passing like ships in the night. So I went and did the same thing again. Came back. No answer. She goes, Brett, I'm getting nervous. I said, just let me do it again. So this time I got Landon to help me. We did it again. Couldn't find him. Now I'm getting nervous. Seth goes, but I think, you think they may have been abducted? Do you think? Because the interstate, you know, I-10 or whatever the major interstate, I-40 through there was just down the road. If they were abducted, they could be long gone. She goes, Brad, you think we ought to call the police? They're going to call the police. I said, let me go check again. Trying to be the steady, strong husband, and I'm dying on the inside. Any guys know what I'm talking about? So I go do a loop again. Couldn't find them. Came back. This time, oh my God. They've been taken, Bradley. They've been taken. We got to do something now. I said, let me go check one more time. If I don't find them, I promise you we'll call the police. My heart was racing. Every parent's nightmare. You feeling my pain? Gone. So I go back to that pool house. This time I go in, there's some scraggly looking dude sitting there with his arms on the pool. I said, hey, bud, have you seen two girls like middle school age? One's got blonde hair, one's got curly dark hair. They're twins. He said, yeah, I think they're over there. So I went and I saw a little opening that I'd never seen before. And there was a hot tub in there. Hang on now, you're getting ahead of me here. And I'm saying, Catherine, Caroline, no answer. Then I look and I see there's just like a wall. I said, I wonder if there's something behind that wall. Because the hot tub kind of went over by the wall. So I went over there and they were sitting inside that little alcove with their headphones on. Now, understand, we had called their phones 15 times in this process. And I said, Catherine, Caroline, what are you? And they went, what, Dad? I said, come here. Zimmer, I hugged them, and I kissed them, and I'm like, when Mom thought y'all were gone, we told me you were gone, and I'm so glad to see you. I said, now listen to me. I buy all of your food. I pay for the roof that's over your head. I pay for those cell phones. Let me tell you this. As long as you're living under my roof, eating my food, and using the cell phones I pay for, every time I call you, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're at cheerleading practice. I don't care if you're in a classroom. I don't care if you're taking a final exam. I don't care if you're talking to your boyfriend. I don't care where you are and who you're with. When I call that number, you answer that phone. Are you with me, parents? Of course, Steph was elated, and we were crying, and our girls were rescued. Now think about this. As the hours waned after that moment, I began to calm down later that evening. I started thinking, if that's how much my heart was passionate and beating for my little girls that I thought were lost, how much more does Jesus feel that way about us? Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Isn't that a great statement? I'm so glad he loves notorious sinners. That way he loves me. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religion, these were like the super spiritual, quote unquote, of religious law, complained that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Then so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep, say 100, and one of them gets lost, say one, what will he do? Now, people hearing this in real time 2,000 years ago are thinking, He lets that one just stay lost, and you care for the 99 that you have. You never sacrifice 99 money-making assets to go for one asset that may already be dead and gone. Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he's found it? And they're like, no. No businessman, no rancher would ever do that. You never leave 99 money-making assets. That's terrible business. That's terrible business. That's terrible business. To leave 99 money-making assets to be vulnerable to the elements, to go on a wild goose chase, to find the one that you may never even be able to find, and when you find them, they may already be dead and torn apart by wolves when you get there. Verse 5. And when he has found it, so notice how it changes. Won't he go? No, he won't. And when he finds it, in other words, he's like, yes, you do. I will go. The good shepherd does go. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Now listen, listen. People listening to this in real time are like, this is absurd. This man has lost it. Imagine having a car lot and one car gets stolen. And you got 99 others and you're going to leave the gate open. You're going to leave the keys in them. And you're going to drive all over East Texas to find an old Impala that was stolen. You would say, that's nuts. That's what Jesus is saying. And in this story, this is what I want you to get. We see the heartbeat of our Savior. We see the highest of values of our Savior. That it's worth it to risk everything, to leverage everything for the one. You know, in church life and in our personal lives, there's always this tension that arises in certain seasons. You're in one now. You're filling up this building. We have to make adjustments to reach more people. But I like us just being all together. I get that. I love people too. I like us all. Like I get to see everybody. I know. I understand that. But will you be like Jesus and say, I'm willing to leverage what I know to rescue what is most valuable? I want you to hold your hand up like this, like you're giving me a high five. Everybody do this. Hold up. I want you to say, find the five. Find the five. Oh, come on now. That was weak. Hold them up high now. I know some of you dudes are like, but it up now. Hold it up. All right? Say, find the five. Find the five. There we go. That's I like that. Now, hold, don't put them down yet. Don't put them down yet. We're not getting spooky. Just hang on. These five fingers represent what I'm going to challenge you to do between now and the end of this year. Not this week. If you do it this week, you're a red hot. That's awesome. But I'm talking about the end of the year. To reach out, invest, and invite five people who are not active in church anywhere and invite them to come to Motion Church with you by the end of the year. Okay? Now let me clarify. You put your hands down. I am not talking about you got a buddy at the plant who goes to Moberly Baptist or Moberly, however you say that. And he's like, man, I just heard y'all's music is great, man. I've been going to Moberly Baptist for 15 years, but I like to come check. No, he's off limits. They're off limits. I'm talking about the dude this morning that church wasn't even on his radar.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right. We're not talking about these safe invites that they love going to Christian concerts and they love Christian music and they wear Christian t-shirts and they'll come and check our church out one weekend. No, that's cheating. We're not here to switch sheeple. They're not people, they're sheeple. We're here for people who aren't going anywhere. Are you tracking with me here? Now, here's the way I do it. The more you talk back to me, the shorter I preach. Is that a deal? All right. Are you tracking with me? Come on now. There we go. All right. Now, finding five people, we find where the tension is in finding that. Now, some of you are super inviters. You're bringers like crazy. Five people, you do that in your sleep. But for some of you, I would say a lot of you, you've never invited one person. Or you've invited several and none of them have come. Or you invited somebody, they came for 2 weeks and never came back. And you're wondering, does it really make the difference? I'm going to give you four realities around you finding your five. Now say, find the five.
Find the five.
Number one, finding is always inconvenient. Rescue opportunities are always inconvenient. Do car wrecks happen at convenient times? Do heart attacks happen at convenient times? Do house fires happen at convenient times? No. Rescuing, finding is always, always, always inconvenient. Now, if we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the earthly steps of Jesus on this earth, not only look at where he walked, but just read through that and look at where he stopped. The secret to Jesus' impact was numerous things, but one of them was he was always willing to be inconvenienced. It's inconvenient to bring people with you to church. It throws off your rhythm. It's a little bit uncomfortable. It is different. Yes. When people open up to you, it's at inconvenient times. I was at the gym about 4 weeks ago. I had gotten out of the shower. I was putting my clothes on. And I had met this guy in the steam room. His name was Matt. We had just met. And I said, Matt, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I have an investment company and oversee a hedge fund, all that kind of stuff. I said, that's awesome, man. I said, what is a hedge fund? And he was telling me what it was. He said, what do you do? I said, well, I'll tell you, but you just don't hold it against me. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm one of the pastors at Fellowship Church here in Dallas. He goes, what church? He never even heard of it. When he didn't even know anything about it, I thought, now we're tracking. As a Fellowship Church, Pastor Ed Young. Never heard of him. He says, is that like a Christian church? I said, it is. He goes, you know what? I need to sit down and talk to you. This guy's F-bombing one for another, talking to other people in the locker room. He says, I need to talk to you, man. He said, I'm going through a spiritual crisis. And in that moment, I knew I'm not at this gym to work out. I'm not in this gym to get healthy. I'm in that gym today because God orchestrated that moment with him. I said, well, let's go to lunch this week. So we switched numbers, went to lunch. We sat down. He said to me, you know, Brad, he said, I'm kind of like an atheist, but I think there is something out there. I'm not sure. He goes, I never have desired Christianity. I think it's a joke. He said, but truthfully, I've never even known the meaning of what it's all about. What is Christianity all about? It's a true story. It's just a few weeks ago. We're eating at a place called Whistle Britches in Dallas. Great fried chicken, by the way. I don't mean chicken tenders. No. I mean on the bone, grandma style chicken. Are you with me? Come on now. The whole bird, baby. So we're sitting there eating. And so I just began to share with him about Jesus coming. and dying on the cross. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God met us at that little table at Whistlebridge's. And that big old tough businessman, his old eyes began to well with tears. And he said, I want this. And we began to pray. He began to just tremble and shake, Chris, as he prayed, inviting Jesus into his life. The following Sunday, several days later, I brought him to our Frisco campus. He sat right next to me with his girlfriend, a model who just moved here. She's an actress and model that's moved here from Los Angeles. She'd never been to church a day in her life. Didn't know nothing. He didn't either. I sat down. I was right there. I was like, where you're sitting, Brittany, right there. I was sitting right here. And I mean, our worship team came out and they began to sing a song we've sung a lot of times. But something, it hit different that day, Chris. Because I'm thinking, all he knows about Jesus, what I just shared with him 2 days ago. And she don't know Jack. And she heard the message of Jesus. Awesome. Finding is always inconvenient. Number two, finding is exhausting. You will invite a lot of people before one person ever comes. You will have a lot of people come before you see somebody radically changed. But once you see somebody radically changed, you're addicted. And you just keep on inviting, and you 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 keep on inviting, and one's gonna get transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And then you're gonna get here on Sunday morning, and you're coming in, and you're gonna see them in the volunteer room getting ready to serve. They're at the volunteer rally. And you're thinking, I got to be a part of that. I got to be a part of that. It's exhausting. I was talking to one of these volunteers that's serving in children this morning. I said, I want to thank you for doing that. She says, I won't get to hear your message. I have to catch it later online. I said, that's one thing. I said, you're a hero. She's in there keeping those curtain crawlers so you can sit in here. Right? You with me? She's in there so you can be in here. And they're not babysitting. They're investing in those kids and your kids. It's tiring. I got here 2.5 hours ago. There are people that had already been here a long time getting this place ready for you. I met with those volunteers that have been here since early. They'll go home much more tired than you are. It's exhausting. People break your heart. People quit. People say hurtful things. It's exhausting. And Jesus implies that he searches, and 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 he pushes through, and he keeps going until he finds it. Jesus is saying, I don't want anything to stop you, Motion Church, from doing anything and everything you can to make it impossible for anybody to go to hell from Longview, Texas. Amen. You hear what I said? Yes. I want you to do anything and everything you possibly can do to make it impossible for anyone to die without Jesus Christ in Longview, Texas. Yes. Right. Number three, I'm almost done. Told you, talk back and get shorter. Finding is expensive. He left 99 money-making assets. Remember the car lot? Or those of you that are ranchers, leaving the gates open onto the highway for your cattle to go and find one calf that's lost. You say, Brad, I'd never do that. Jesus did. It's expensive. Do you know that the U.S. Coast Guard, this is mind-boggling, spends $680 million a year for 114 rescues on average. I'm going to say that again. $680 million for an average of 114 people rescued. Let me break that down for you, for all the math people in here. That's $5,964,912.28 per person. Some of you would say, man, that's, once again, that's an example of how Washington wastes tax dollars. But not if that was your daughter on that boat. You'd say, spend $5 million, spend $10 million, spend $20 million, spend $40 million, whatever it takes to bring my baby home. See, it doesn't get real till it gets personal. Look at me. And Pastor Kristen asked me to say this. I feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to say this. It's not free to reach people. Look at me now. Don't look at the floor. The floor will still be there. Just look at me. You were not free. You weren't free. It cost tens of thousands of dollars to reach you. Somebody, it's probably in this room, others that are in heaven, and others that have moved to other parts of the country, sacrificed and gave so you could walk in this place. So you had a chair to sit on. So you had a safe place to drop off your kids. So you could hear this worship and it not sound like a bunch of clanging things because the sound system is good. And you could hear me through a microphone, or Pastor Chris through a microphone that works. And the air conditioning works. Thank God for AC in Texas. You with me? If we're going to reach Longview, it's going to cost money. It's going to cost lots of money. It's going to cost hundreds of thousands and millions upon millions of dollars to reach Longview for Jesus. Yeah. Most preachers won't tell you that. Chris will. But most preachers won't tell you that. It ain't free. But they're worth it. They're worth it. Number four, and I'm done. Number one, finding is inconvenient. Number two, finding is exhausting. Finding is expensive. He leveraged 99 for the one. But number four, finding is worth it. Look at again what he says. When he arrives, he joyfully carries it home. And when he arrives, he calls together all of his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have it straight away. Here's what that means. In just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to turn to Jesus as your Savior if you've never had. For him to rescue you today. When that one person in this room or more prays to give their life to Jesus, heaven has a party. And heaven has more of a party. Now listen to me. Heaven has more of a party over that one person who walked in this room, gave their life to Jesus, than they do when you and I just live obedient to Jesus. When you help that person on the side of the road, when you give a coat to somebody that needs it in the winter, when you take a friend out to encourage them, those are all great things. And heaven rejoices in that. But it doesn't rejoice in that like it does when one person turns to Christ. That's what Jesus said. It's worth it. I'm going to take a risk here. if your life, whether you found Jesus Christ or you gave your life to Jesus here at Motion Church or your life was transformed at Motion Church, I just want you to stand right where you are. Just stand. Don't be afraid. Just stand. My life was changed. Come on, stand. Don't be afraid. Stand. Look at this all over. These people. Now, don't sit down yet. You see all these people? They're worth it. Those of you that helped direct the parking out there, they're worth it. Chris, you and Shelly moving here, leaving what you knew to plant this church, Brittany was worth it. Those of you that gave and sacrificed to redo this building and buy these chairs, to those of you who serve in kids ministry for these people and their children, worth it. Worth it. You can be seated. Let's give them a hand if you would. And here's what's great. I want to close with this. Here's what's awesome about what I'm sharing with you. You don't have to be a rock star to do it. You don't have to know much about the Bible or anything, really. You don't have to be a people person. You don't have to have the answer to all the questions. You can invite people. I moved to Tampa in August of 2000. Like I did when I moved to Dallas a few months ago, you got to find a place to get your hair cut. So I found the closest salon, Shelley, to where I lived, and I went. And I didn't have an appointment. I just was a walk-in, and a girl named Marilyn cut my hair. And I invited Marilyn. And she goes, "Why did you move here?" And I said, "Well, I moved here to start a church." And I said, "This is not the Bible Belt. Tampa's New York. I mean, they're your age, but they're New York, New Jersey." She goes, "Why did you move here to start a church?" I said, "For people just like you. So I want to invite you to come." At that time, we had enough people to fill up a closet. And she came, Chris, old Marilyn, sat out there in one of those little seats like this, not as nice as these seats, but sat out there. And when I gave people a chance to trust Christ, she raised her hand that she trusted Christ. She had a lot of problems. She had some addiction issues. She had some problems. She invites her sister, Linda, to come. Linda's got blonde hair. Marilyn had dark hair. Linda comes. Linda raises her hand out there. Gives life to Christ. And those two girls met with me before they had to run outside and catch a smoke on the front part of where we were meeting. That's my kind of people right there. You know, I always tell a good church by how many cigarettes are smashed out on the ground before you walk in. If you don't have any cigarette butts, you're not reaching people, man. You guys with me on that? Come on, Chris. That's what it's all about. I preached at a church one time that, I mean, they had ashtrays outside, just stacks of cigarettes. I was like, "I'm home, baby. This is a good deal. This is my crowd." So they went outside to smoke, and they said, "Well, you know, they're getting their cigarettes out." And they said, "Listen, would you please pray for our sister Joanne? We want her to come. She's married to a really bad guy, but he's real rich. His name is Daryl Johnson. He has a Porsche, a Jaguar. He's got all of it. And he is the most angry atheist." She goes, "And he hates your guts." Now, I struggle with statements like that. Because in the morning when I'm getting ready, I'm shaving, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, I'm thinking, how can anybody hate this face? I don't get it. You hear me? Chris, you ever think about that? That's how I feel. Am I okay on time? Yeah. They said, would you just pray? So I did. I just, you know, like courtesy, sure, we'll pray. We prayed. Never thought much about it. While passed. And one day after church, we were meeting at a YMCA at that time. They came up to me and they said, "Hey, I want you to know that they found cancer in Daryl's lung. They did a surgery to remove it. He got an embolism and, you know, his heart stopped and everything. And they got him on life support. He was on the ventilator at St. Joe's. Would you pray for him?" I said, "Better than that, I'm going to go see him today." "You will?" I said, "I'm going to go today." So I got in my old beat-up Jeep Cherokee that leaked oil, and I drive to St. Joe's Hospital. I walk in that ICU, down those squeaky floors. Why do hospitals always have squeaky floors? Go to that squeaky floors, and I go into his room. When I get there, the doctor is talking to Joanne. I'd never met them. And he's basically telling her, there's really not anything we can do. So I met him, he's on that tube in his mouth. He's out. He's basically just dead except for the machine. And I get down by his left ear, and I said, hey, Darryl, this is Brad White. I'm Marilyn and Linda's pastor. And they asked me to come and pray for you. And they say the last thing to go is your hearing. I want you to know right now, Darryl, that if you'll just ask Jesus to change your life and to save you, he'll save you right here in this hospital bed. How many of you believe that? Come on now. He'll save you right here in this hospital bed. And I prayed for him, and then I prayed with Joanne, and I left. And I'm walking, heading out of the ICU. It's like it was yesterday. And those old floors are squeaking. And I said, Holy Spirit, please don't let Darryl die until he hears a clear presentation of the gospel. Weeks and weeks and weeks passed. I went home on a Wednesday afternoon to change clothes for a meeting. This is how long ago this was. I had an answering machine. And the red light was blinking. And I pushed that red button, Shelly. And he said, Brad, this is Darryl Johnson. I'm glad to be alive. And he said, I'm ready to talk about God. Call me. So, man, I got the phone out and called him. And we set an appointment for the following Saturday. Gave me his address, very wealthy area of Tampa. I'm driving that old beat-up red Jeep Cherokee, leaking oil. I pull in that gated neighborhood. I'm driving down these pretty streets. And I pull up in his cobblestone driveway, leaking oil all over it. And I go up, knock on his door. They invite me in. Went and sat on this beautiful furniture. It was worth more than my house. And I sat down. He began to tell me how he died on that hospital bed. And he saw hell. And he heard the screams. He said, I don't know what all that means, but I asked God to give me a chance. Help me understand what it means. So I just simply explained who Jesus was, what he came to do, what he would do for them. And I said, Darryl, Joanne, do you want to turn over your life to Jesus Christ? I said, yes. And I got out of that beautiful leather chair. I said, why don't we kneel by your couch here? So I had Darryl kneeling here, and I had Joanne here, and I was in between them with my arms around them. And we were slinging snot all over that $10,000 couch. And they prayed with me, and they gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I've been in ministry 30 years and 2 months. I have yet to see a life change as radical as Darryl's. I've seen a lot. Darryl was like none other. He was an Apostle Paul conversion. Joanne, she changed, but she was slow. She was slow in movement. Darryl was overnight. And I mean overnight. He started bringing people every week to church. He would corner me out in front of the lobby at the YMCA, and he would say, come here. He said, this is my friend Ken. He's got more money than he's spent in 10 lifetimes, okay? He's filthy rich. Ken? He's going to tell you what I've told you. You're on your way to hell, and you're going to bust hell. Whatever. Now, Brad, explain that to him right now. But he did. He just brought people. He came to me one day. He still kissed me, man. You got to understand how pagan this guy was. He was on his fifth marriage. He had lost the previous four because he cheated. And he was cheating in this one, too. It's a guy that was vile in how he lived. Extremely narcissistic. He goes, I was coming back from downtown. I looped through down Fletcher and Nebraska, and I just started seeing, Brad, do you know that we have homeless people in Tampa? He goes, they're under the bridges. I said, yeah. He goes, I don't know anything about the Bible. I just want to ask you if God would be okay with this. Jesus would be okay with it. Could I just buy groceries at Publix and me and Joanne make sandwiches and put chips in baggies and get them a Coke and tie the bag up and put it in our car and drive there and just give them free meals down there? Would God be upset with that? I think you'll be okay. I remember he had that pearl colored Jaguar, beautiful car. He'd go to Publix and open that trunk up, fill it with groceries and make sandwiches, little baggies. He would drive down there. That led to opening an incredible food ministry in the inner city of Tampa that he led. Unbelievable life. The cancer came back. I remember the morning that he died. It was early in the morning. Joanne called me. Said, "Do you want to come and see before the funeral home gets here?" I said, "I'm on my way." This time I lived in a bigger house in a nicer neighborhood. Same car for me, leaking all over the driveway. I go in there. He's got that hospice bed. He's laying in that hospice bed. And around his bed, Chris, I'll never, ever forget this, was the most beautiful thing. There was his Buddhist friend that he'd been working on. Another friend of his that was a staunch atheist, like he was. That's how his bed. Some new age lady sprinkling crystal, dangling crystals over his body. And I'm walking up to that bed, and I'm thinking, when I go, this is how I want my bed to look. There's people I'm just searching. Say, find the five. So I get over there and Joanne goes, "Can I tell you how he died?" I said, "Please do." She goes, "Just an hour ago, his breathing starts getting real laborious, like the death rattle, you know. So I started asking about people, if he was seeing people in heaven." No. Finally, she said, "Daryl, is it Jesus?" Died. It's real, folks. It's real. I remember when I preached his funeral, the place was packed. We had to borrow a church. We didn't have a building. Before the service, he was in the casket in his classic Tommy Bahama shirt and shorts. I brought all of our staff down there. We got around that casket. I said, "You see him right here?" They were all emotional. I said, "This is why we do what we do. This is why we work so hard and make so many phone calls. This is why we sacrifice and we give. This is why we get up early and we stay up late. This is why we do it. Preached his funeral. Years and years and years and years and years passed. Steph and I finally bought a beautiful home, a dream home. I'm walking my Labrador Retriever named Louie down the street on the first couple days we're living there. A lady walks out to the end of her driveway and she says, "I know who you are." Now, when anybody says that, I get nervous. You know what I'm saying? She goes, "I know who you are." I said, "You do?" I'm in like grungy clothes, ball cap, nasty. She said, "You're the pastor of that church over here on Richmond House." I said, "I am." She said, "Do you remember a guy by the name of Daryl Johnson?" I said, "Whoa, I do. I haven't heard that name in so many years." She said, "Let me tell you a story." She goes, "My husband was a staunch atheist. Not me, not my kids, but he was. We went to church without him for years and years and years. My kids knew nothing about my husband going to church with us. And we prayed, and I prayed for God to change my husband's life. That might be you, young lady, in this room, a mom and dad with your son or daughter. Listen." She goes, "I kept praying." And he worked with Daryl. They were buddies. He said it messed him up when Daryl became a Christian because Daryl's life changed so much. And he couldn't understand it. He started asking questions. And then at the funeral, that day you preached his funeral down at St. James Methodist, my husband gave his life to Jesus. And his life's been changed. And now we go to this church over here in another part of town, and my husband's a leader at that church, and we got a small group we're in. And I just want to say thank you.
for loving Daryl, because my family's been changed because of that. I'm walking my dog back and I'm thinking, this doesn't go back to me. This goes back to that hairdresser named Marilyn. All kind of issues. Broken, busted, a shattered life. But Jesus changed her. And she just invited the people she knew. And one of those was Daryl. And a life that was transformed. Say, find the five. Say, find the five. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. I feel your presence in this room. Lord, I pray right now over this church. Holy Spirit, I pray for your power to descend upon this place. I pray for every single person in this room, those that are introverts and those that are extroverts and those in between, that God, you'd begin to use them to invite their friends and family to come. People they work with, the girl at the grocery store, the guy at the Walgreens, the person at the gym. Do it, Lord. Do it. Give them the boldness and the strength to live this out. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're one of those, like Daryl, like Marilyn. You might not have their same story. You might not be an atheist. But you've never surrendered 100% your life to Jesus, choosing to follow him as your leader and Lord. You're on the self-help plan. You're on the, I'm going to try to be good enough to do enough good to outdo my bad. I get it. That makes sense. It just doesn't work. You need Jesus. You don't need a helper. You need a savior. And you say, Brad, I want it. See, just like Jesus in that metaphorical story went after the sheep, he's been coming after you. That's why nothing else works. That's why there's an emptiness in your heart. That's why you're here today, because your Savior, Jesus Christ, your Creator, has been pursuing you. And today's the day just to say yes and surrender. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you say, Brad, I want to take that step of faith, and I want you to pray with me right where you are, just privately. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just say, dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on a cross for me. I believe you rose again, that you're alive today. And I believe you are the only one that can save my soul and forgive me. And today, I am turning from how I've been living, and I'm turning to you, Jesus. And I'm choosing to follow you from this day forward, regardless of the cost. I ask you to come live in me, to wash me clean on the inside, to change me, and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Now I'm going to count to three. When I get to number three, if you prayed that with me today, I want you to put your hand in the air when I get to number three. Everybody else, I want us to cheer for them like the Cowboys just won the Super Bowl. Okay? On the count of three. Don't be afraid. Just put it up. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to see it and rejoice with you. Me and Pastor Chris. One. Two. You ready? Throw those hands up. Three. Brad, I prayed that with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All over. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Motion Church. Love you.